Our God and our Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that now your Holy Spirit will direct our thoughts, that we may understand the things you want to say to us this morning. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Good morning, everybody. I think today, in a world with all its troubles, turmoil, tumult, a world where we don't quite know where we're going, we need some comfort. And what more comfort could we have than this morning being our topic, that the Lord is our shepherd, who cares for us and looks after us and loves us. I'm sure there isn't any greater depiction of God and ourselves and the relationship we have other than the picture of Jesus or God being our shepherd and we being members of his flock, his sheep. Perhaps of all scripture, the most well-known verse is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But besides this, there are many other references in scripture to God or Jesus being our shepherd and we his sheep. In Psalm 95 we read, "He is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." In Isaiah we read, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young." And of course, again in the New Testament, in Matthew's Gospel, we read, "Like a shepherd, God will risk his life to seek and save the straying sheep." And again in Matthew, Jesus had compassion on the people because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And then later on in Hebrews, our Lord Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. And then in our reading, which we've just heard from John's Gospels, we get another perspective where Jesus says, "I am the gate for the sheep." Now, I think to understand what Jesus is saying, we have to appreciate that a shepherd's life in Jesus' day was rather different from a shepherd today. In that day, basically, the shepherd lived with the sheep day and night, and he had a very close relationship with each of the sheep. So much so that he knew each of the sheep individually, and actually, he would name them. When he wanted them, he would just call the sheep by name. And the sheep would hear his voice and they would recognize the shepherd's voice. It's a really lovely picture, isn't it, of that close relationship between a shepherd and the sheep. And when he went out in the day, he would just walk in front of the sheep and the sheep, knowing who he was, would in fact just follow him. Rather different from today. You don't see the shepherd leading the sheep. You see the shepherd driving the sheep, usually with one or perhaps several sheepdogs. Forgive my rather warped sense of humour, but when I read this, I thought, well, I wonder, in fact, if they had shepherd trials in those days, rather like sheepdog trials today, where all the sheep would be mixed up. You can imagine them all being together. And then the job of the shepherd would be who could be first to get his sheep back together with him. I think it'd be just as interesting, actually, as a sheepdog trial, wouldn't it? What we have to realize is that there were sort of two different types of sheepfold. There was one out on the hills, which would be just a crude enclosure, and it would just have one simple opening. And there wasn't a door or a gate on the opening, because the shepherd himself would be the gate. That's why Jesus said, "I am the gate for the sheep." The shepherd at night would lie across that opening. He became the door. And that meant that the sheep could not get out and hurt themselves during the night and wander off, and nor could anything or anybody get into the sheepfold without, in fact, first getting past the shepherd. Alternatively, in the villages, there would be somewhat larger sheepfolds, where, in fact, the sheep from the different flocks would all gather together, and at night they'd be all mixed up together. And so in the morning, of course, they had to be separated. Actually, it was quite a simple job, because the shepherd would go in and the shepherd would just call his own sheep by name, and his own sheep would just follow him. They wouldn't follow any other shepherd, because they didn't recognize the voice of any other shepherds. So it was a simple fact. The shepherd would just call his own sheep and off they would go. What a wonderful, wonderful relationship there was then between the shepherd and the sheep. And if we begin to understand that relationship in those days between the shepherd and the sheep, I think we can now be helped to understand what Jesus was trying to say when he was addressing the people. Jesus, in this passage, emphasizes that he is the true gate and that he is the good shepherd. He says about the gate, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." In contrast to Jesus, the good shepherd, and the true gate, there were many who claimed to be leaders of the people, leaders of God's people, who in fact were false shepherds. Their claims were false. Throughout the Old Testament, the leaders of the people of Israel were referred to as being shepherds of the sheep. But many, like the Pharisees in Jesus' day, although they claimed to be leading the people, in fact were leading the people astray. We find, of course, when we read about the Pharisees, they weren't concerned really about showing and leading the people the way to God. What concerned them was the minutiae of those extra rules and regulations that had been introduced about what you could do and what you couldn't do. And what they were more concerned about was their own prestige, of people admiring them rather than being directed to God, to the shepherd of the sheep. They cared far much about themselves than they cared for the sheep. And this was not only the case in Jesus' day, but in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel we read, "This is what the sovereign Lord says, 'Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock?'" I guess that's a warning to all who would claim leadership in Christ's church today. But Jesus, in contrast, in fact, portrays himself as the good shepherd who cares for his sheep and loves his sheep. So much so, his love is so great that he says that he lays down his life for the sheep. He is the gate who protects the sheep from the dangers of those without the fold, and protecting the sheep themselves from wandering out into danger. But Jesus, of course, is referring to the fact that he will give himself his life on the cross so that we might live. As scripture says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have been returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And being the one true gate, and being the good shepherd, Jesus is able to say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What a wonderful, wonderful shepherd that we have in Jesus. And what a privilege and how wonderful it is to be members of his flock. But having such a wonderful shepherd, how do we behave as his sheep? I wonder, when you see a flock of sheep in a field, does it make you feel good? I remember someone once saying to me, when we were looking at a flock of sheep in a field, all contented and peaceful, I wouldn't mind being a sheep. And you know, I wonder, when people look in our church here at St. Mary's, do they see us and do they say, I wouldn't mind being one of those. I would like Jesus to be my shepherd. I would like to be a member of his flock. It's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? I think when we read that chapter from the Acts of the Apostles, we get a glimpse, in fact, of what it is, what is it realistic to be, in fact, the church that Jesus wants us to be. We're told, when people saw the behavior of those people in the Acts of the Apostles, everyone was filled with awe. Oh, what a challenge. When people look at us as Jesus' flock, as the church of Jesus, are they filled with awe? So what qualities then would we look for in these people? Well, we're told that they met together. They were unified. They gathered together. And do you remember that just before his crucifixion on that last night, when he was praying for his disciples and for us, central to Jesus' prayer was that we as his people should be one, that we should be unified. And it really is awful, isn't it, when the church has divisions and is divided and argues against each other. Oh, that we were one in Christ, no matter which congregation, denomination, or church that we belong to. We're told that they cared for the needs of others. They spent time together in worship and praise. And the whole behavior was such that they gained the admiration of the people. And so much so was their witness that we find that the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. Again, what a challenge. Are people looking in on St. Mary's and so wanting to know Jesus that daily God is adding to his number those who are being saved? In that passage, we read these words: the good shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. I wonder, how well are we listening to the voice of Jesus? How well are we following Jesus? How well are we obeying him? And by obedience, it means that we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And that we love our neighbours as ourselves. How do people see us as Christ's flock? Do they see in us, in fact, love, unity, contentment, joy, happiness, as we enjoy being shepherds of Jesus' flock? Wouldn't it really be wonderful if people would look in on his flock here, on Christ Church here, and seeing the joy and privilege we have of being members of Jesus' flock, that they would say in their hearts, yes, I want Jesus to be my shepherd. Amen.